And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz here at 96.3 FM, Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the Thursday edition. Stay with us for special Clearview Court guest, Barbara Tiger, and the continuation of the City Council sellout of seniors and folks under rent control who currently live in mobile home parks. Stay tuned. And that was another version of Mike True's Desperado Blues. Mike True, of course, is a member of the new Santa Cruz Street Performers, Musicians, Beggars, and Vagabonds Union. I'm not quite sure what they're calling themselves or who constitutes them, but they are around. Tried to have a meeting, apparently, on Tuesday night, but they were sort of opted out, or they were switched out by the fact that there was a city council meeting that was pretty hefty for some of us. The destruction of rent control for the mobile home parks here in Santa Cruz, essentially destroying the life savings of hundreds of senior citizens, became a priority issue, at least for me, so I wasn't able to make the meeting, and I don't think the media ever happened. But anyway, these are street performers who are trying to reclaim their rights on the streets, and we're going to be talking, hearing some more about that later in the show. But right now, we have a guest in the studio with us, new to radio, but willing to come on and talk about issues that are going to be, well, I don't know if they, devastating might be the word, devastating her life and the lives of others here in Santa Cruz. She's from Clearview Court Mobile Home Park, and her name is Barbara Tiger. Am I right on that, Barbara?
Yes, you are.
And Barbara, we met up at City Council, yes, it was Tuesday night, where you came down with a bunch of other folks to protest City Council's decision to destroy rent control because of increasing legal fees by lawsuits by Manufactured Homes Corporation. Is that right?
Yes, we actually were at two meetings. There was a previous one we went to, and then this one we had the demonstration in the afternoon. And we marched and carried the rent control coffin down to City Hall and made a lot of noise. And then we made fools of ourselves making speeches and crying at the meeting since they'd already made up their minds. I guess we wasted our time trying to influence anything. But we were there.
Yeah, well, it sounds like to me that, you know, you tried to use the democratic process. You tried to speak to the issues, to mobilize the community. And in fact, you're talking to a city council that, I think you're quite right, had already made up its mind without even informing you. They entered into a secret deal in behind closed doors with Manufactured Homes Corporations to destroy rent control. I guess they're going to give you, well, not, they're giving De Anza a lease for 34 years. I guess you're...
Yeah, now that's a matter of definition. When you say you, I don't live at De Anza, and Clearview Court has nothing to do with that.
Right.
The arrangement, as I understand it, which I understand poorly, is that this is an arrangement only for De Anza, and as far as I know, at least it hasn't been in my mailbox, nothing has been heard from our owners yet, and I assume that they're going to be coming to the city council with some sort of an offer. As I understand it, we don't have rent control either, but as of what date, I don't know. The De Anza people apparently have to sign some sort of, I don't know, what is it, an offer they can't refuse. Either they don't sign it and the rent can go up
3 to 5 times.
Whatever the corporation in Chicago wants, or they can sign and presumably they get this 34-year lease. Whatever they do, their equity is gone because their houses are unsaleable. No one's going to buy a $250,000 house that has a lease expiring on it in 34 years, and no one's going to buy a home where the rent under it is just going to go up and up and up and up, as much as $5,000 a space. So effectively, their homes are unsaleable and probably worse than worthless, because if it were worth nothing, at least they could walk away from it. But I suppose they'll be charged. They can't take them anywhere. There are no open spaces in Santa Cruz to park a mobile home. If it's an older one, most parks won't take it. And I was told that it costs a minimum of $10,000 to tow a mobile home, but I suppose there's more cost depending on the distance traveled and how big it is, etc., plus the installing. So effectively, they may end up being charged to scrap the homes that have been stolen from them.
Yeah, and in fact, of course, if you try to get a loan because you have a catastrophic illness or you need money...
No, well, they're unloanable.
The banks are probably not going to lend money. I think that's already
Someone at the meeting who was in real estate said that, I don't know what the difference is, a bank and a mortgage company, are they different? Anyway, they won't give out loans. As for insurance, I don't know that any, and we're sort of wondering about that. Should we insure our homes? Are they worth anything? I don't know. I guess the insurance, and then there's the property tax. Are we still going to get charged full property tax? And if you inherit, someone at work, and I don't know if he knows, I said, well, if my mother dies and I inherit a $250,000 home, don't I have to pay inheritance tax? And he said, yes. I said, well, now do I get my money back because it's worthless? And he said, no.
We have a call coming in. Let's see who's on the line. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Barbara and Robert.
Hello, this is Shannon Gannon.
Hey, Shannon.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Just was calling in to see if you were having the talk show about the De Anza rent control situation, the Clearview rent control.
We are, and of course it has far broader implications than just De Anza. In fact, in the studio with us is Barbara Tiger, speaking for herself, but a resident of Clearview Court. Is that right, Barbara?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what we're talking about, Shannon. What do you got? You're a De Anza person, or?
Yeah, I'm a De Anza person.
Uh-huh, so that's good.
I think it's pretty obvious what's going on out here, and I was kind of saddened that there wasn't more people at the hearing with the city council, but I realize that a lot of times it doesn't necessarily affect people directly, so they don't always get out there. But what I wanted to point out was I think what's really going on in De Anza, and to a degree at Clearview also, is the fact that they don't want the coaches in the park. What they want to achieve is getting the coaches out.
Now, who do you mean? Who are they, Shannon? Who are you talking?
MHC, the company.
Okay.
Yeah, what they want to do is they want to get the coaches out of the park.
So they want to sell the property or do something else with it?
That's not what they... No, I don't think they want to sell the property. I think this is what they want to do, and this is why I called, because I want to get this message out.
Mm-hmm.
To all the people that stood up and fought against Terrace Point, welcome to Terrace Point Revisited. It's just showed up in the disguise of a rent control amended agreement.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen is they're going to amend the agreement, which they already have, they're trying to, and that is going to force people out. It already has started. They can't afford the rents. They can't afford to sell their coach because the rents are too high. They can't afford to move their coach. All the local institutions in Santa Cruz that lent on the coaches are not going to have any interest in moving them because there's no place close to move them to. So they're going to walk away from them. Well, what's going to happen is they're either going to negotiate with MHC at a really reduced price on the sales price, and MHC may take them back just for a short time and maybe rent them out for a year on a month-to-month tenancy because they'll be second generation at that point. So they can charge whatever rent they want. But the main objective to them is to get to that second generation lease so they can either keep the rents where they want them until they get enough people out of here to where they can say, okay, you've got your month is up, you've got to split.
Yeah, I think what people have to understand, probably many do who are listening to this show, is that the city council is kind of and MHC are using a sweetening here that says, well, you can keep rent control in existence, which is which means every year a very very small rise in rent, what, 0.75% of the CPI, something like that,
right.
Consumer price index, but only until such time as the rent is as the coach is transferred to another owner. So when these folks whose average age, the average age at De Anza is 75, what's the average age at Clearview Court? Do you know?
I can't answer your question, but there's one woman who's 88. I would say all of the Hispanic families are childbearing, and in fact, one behind me is pregnant. And
how many people in Clearview Court?
Again, I can't answer your question. I
a couple
believe
hundred.
There's 67 spaces, but some are at one, some maybe four. I would say that the
sounds like 100 to 200 people, maybe something like
probably.
That.
Probably, I would say that more. The majority are working people,
mm-hmm.
and of those who are working people, probably 50s is probably the oldest. There are some retired people. The 88-year-old woman,
so
her mother lived in the coast.
So the seniors are pretty much De Anza. Are you a senior, Shannon, yourself? Or?
No, I'm not, but we are in the 55 age bracket, so we do get the rent control on that.
It is part. Mostly seniors who are, I mean, that's pretty, in fact,
that's
you
primarily the
you have to be over 55 or have a special exemption to get in there, right?
Right.
So I think the point is you can't, the rent control appears to be continuing under this pseudo deal by the city council, which allows it to continue, but only only until the person, you know, the person dies or the ownership transfers, and that means, as you pointed out, nobody's going to get a loan on it, nobody's going to be able to move it or sell it for anything. And once it goes to the second generation, once it gets transferred to somebody else or sold or people move out, then the rents go up 3 to 5 to 6 to how many ever times they go up, right?
Right, and here's a great story for compassion for you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people in De Anza passed away on the 3rd, which was the deadline to sign up for rent control.
Uh-huh.
Passed away on the 3rd.
Who was that?
I don't remember his name,
uh-huh.
But the family, you know, they inherited the coach and were unable to get the rent control on the coach because they didn't fill out the paperwork by the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So
but of course, no one was told about the need to do this until the 6th.
Exactly. You know, that works out pretty good for MHC.
Well, you know, the thing, I mean, I heard a lot of these concerns last night and a week ago, and, you know, it pisses me off to hear all this stuff, but of course, my thought is, I knew the city council was going to vote 6-1 against it the second time. I said so when I went up there. It was clear to me that they were, you know, this council doesn't listen to reason, and it makes up its mind before it comes into the city council meetings in many cases. And they also listen to their staff and their city attorney and their city manager, and that's where the priorities and the agenda is set. But I guess my concern is to see, are De Anza people, and I guess they're meeting right now. Are you guys still meeting? Have you had any meetings in the last few days?
We haven't had any meetings. I know that the board's meeting this evening.
Uh-huh.
And they've been very busy and very active.
That's what I heard from someone.
Board. You couldn't ask for a better bunch of people trying.
Sure. No, I understand. But see, I mean, certainly people can try legal solutions and go to court to sue, and that no doubt should probably be tried. But I, you know, to me, the most obvious thing, and I don't know, again, the specific legalities, and I kind of had a sign up at city council that said this on Tuesday night, that said, initiative and recall. In other words, within the next 30 days before this becomes law, you have 30 days before it becomes law, you go and you get 6,000 registered city voters on an initiative that says this law will not go into effect, that and instead we're going to have another solution, there'll be another situation, and that then goes to the voters. But of course it requires De Anza folks and maybe Clearview Court folks and people across the city going out together and putting it on the ballot, you know, raising the issue, going from door to door, being at corners with tables, going downtown and tabling for signatures, and using the voter process in the same way that the Republicans, are using it to recall Davis, only locally to stop a large corporation, I think, for a good purpose.
Right. Well, I think one of the other problems that's gonna pop up for MHC is the fact that they're offering everyone in the park a 34-year lease. And under the 1972 MAP Subdivision Act, they can't do that. They can only offer 5-year leases. So what I'm thinking in my mind is, yeah, they're doing this great thing with the city council by offering these great leases, knowing doggone well that they can only, by law, offer 5-year leases.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be forced in a situation to sign something that's not legal because we really don't have an option. And then when it comes out, well, they'll say, oh, well, we'll just do 5-year leases and we'll give them options to renew. And here we go again.
Hmm.
So that's another little trick I think they've got going.
Well, the question to me, I mean, I was concerned after looking at everybody's, I mean, everyone looked like they were kicked in the gut, and of course they were by the city council. But to me, it was, you know, business as usual for this gang of 7, as I call them. And I just wondered, you know, are people going to roll over and go sign these leases? And what's your reading on that, Shannon?
Oh, I don't think anybody's going to roll over at this point. I think there's a few people in the park that are throwing up every night. And
yeah.
A lot of people, about probably 100% of them, that aren't sleeping worth a damn. It's just a real terrible situation for the seniors. I mean, it's just unconscionable.
Well, you know, Mike Rodkin and Scott Kennedy and Emily Riley are all just very sorry that this is happening to you. They want to know that even as they vote to dispossess you of your homes, that they really regret doing so.
Yes, I understand that, and I've tried to keep it non-personal myself and tried to put myself in their shoes, and I realize that there are 55,000 citizens in Santa Cruz and that we do have a budget, and I can understand where they're verbiage is coming from, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't throw seniors out in the street. I just couldn't do it. Personally.
Well, you know, I don't understand. I mean, if there is such a huge, I mean, there, obviously there's a financial crisis for different reasons in different cities. Although the police department is suffering the least of the budget cuts, and I've been inveighing against that here on this station for a long time, you know, they aren't chopping from the top, from the salaries of the top people. And they're holding secret budget hearings in, you know, throughout August, so we don't know what they're doing until, of course, it comes back for the final round, in which case it's already a done deal. But, you know, there were proposals made, and I'm not the most educated person, perhaps you know more. There were proposals made that there be a financial assessment district worked out or some such thing, that a special tax on mobile home residents, as I understand, is being done in Capitola.
Yes, I understand.
Now, maybe it's a different situation there. Maybe that's not sufficient. Maybe the financial vulnerability of the city in this lawsuit is too huge. Maybe. But I noticed, and I didn't hear every word, but when the city council apologists came back and destroyed rent control with their vote, I didn't hear one response to that argument. Did you hear any of that? Were you at the meeting, right?
Yes, I was, and I was a little surprised because...
Did you hear one person and not city council say, here's the reason we can't do the assessment district?
Well, one of the most frustrating things for us was, what is the biggest drawback that we asked them at the last city council meeting? What's the biggest drawback? And it was just point blank, the money. We don't have the money to fight it. So we had a homeowners meeting, and we decided, well, let's vote on it. So we came up with, $100,000 to get it started, and we were all going to pitch in $100 a month, and some people were going to take care of the people that couldn't afford $100 a month, and we were working as a team, and we went back and said, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to give you money somehow to do this and carry it on. Well, that was our biggest problem. Then we offered it, but it still didn't matter.
Oh, then you were going to be colluding, you see. They couldn't accept the money because you'd be colluding with the city, and that would make them legally liable or some other nonsense.
Right.
Now, I say nonsense not because it might not be true, but it seems to me that a decision has been made somewhere up in the hierarchy that they're going to go with this no matter what you do, unless you turn them back with naked power. That's my feeling. And it's that rational arguments don't matter to these folks. They have power, and they have made their decisions based upon the advice of City Manager for Life Dick Wilson, City Attorney John Barisone, and you know other city officials who have been around for longer than the council has. They trust these people who don't live, as I understand it, in these mobile home parks, and apparently, you know, they don't have the same kind of stake in it, not just that you do, but that low-income people in this community do, to see rent control gone. I mean, that's my concern. I've got some problems with the way some De Anza folks have treated homeless people and have ignored the plight of homeless people in the city of Santa Cruz in terms of the criminalization. Some De Anza folks wanted to put up nasty little signs that stopped homeless people from parking, didn't support safe sleeping zones for the homeless, and now suddenly they're all going to be homeless. And some people at the meeting I was at, I'm in a group called Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, said, why the hell should we care about these De Anza people, you know? They didn't give a damn about us. They were all set to discriminate against us, and my answer was, yeah, that's a mistake they made. We don't want to make the same mistake, you know?
Yeah, it's nice when you don't have to stoop to the other level if you can help it.
Right. Of course, the problem, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if De Anza gets out of this, I got no indication that De Anza or Clearview Court are going to be any more sympathetic to the needs and rights of homeless people in this community either. But nonetheless,
I don't know if that was just a chosen few out of the park that were like that, but I tell you, I'm surprised to hear that because after living in here for a couple of years and getting to know a good majority of the people, I'm surprised to hear any of them are like that. But that's a shame.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, I know also that we also heard from some a dissident, or I should say a resident of De Anza was going to call in, I think Don Payne. I don't know if you know Don. Don had a different perspective, and he may call in. He hasn't called in yet. He actually said he understood the city council's policy more thoroughly. He understood that there is some very significant legal vulnerability the city council has and that they have to do what they're doing. And I guess Sterling Frost, the head of your executive director out there, said that he had a different perspective, and hopefully we can get some discussion and dialogue. But that hasn't happened yet, and maybe it's not going to happen this show, because it sounds like your folks are all in meetings tonight.
Yeah, I know they're very busy. I think they started their meeting at 5, and they'll probably be going on for a lot of times. It goes on till 11 or 12 at night. They're working hard as they can, and they're just trying as hard as they can, and it's...
Well, Shannon, anything else? Because I think there are probably other people who might want to call in. We've only got one line here.
No,
so.
But thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. And remember, all you people that are listening in here, if you can't get off your butt to help the seniors save rent control, all you Terrace Point people, remember that it may not be today, it might be in a year, but it's going to be here. So get off your butt and help the seniors, and you'll avoid another Terrace Point out here.
Hey, thank you
very much.
No
Appreciate
problem.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you're attuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're all going to be senior one of these days, hopefully, unless Bush and company blow us all away, which is another possibility coming up, of course, very quickly. But the phone number here, if you want to discuss this issue, is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. In the studio with me doing a backup in case I faint or run away is Barbara Tiger of Clearview Court, that's also impacted by this rent control bye-bye, or hasta la vista rent control, as the city council seems to have said. I've got today's paper, Santa Cruz Sentinel, which probably many of you have read out there, though 50 cents a pop, it's hardly worth the two quarters. But in this case, there's a story by Heather Berner, who actually, I usually don't have too much positive to say about writer Heather Berner, but in the last few months, her coverage of this particular issue has gotten better and better, and it's on the front page, and I'm glad to see it here. I'm going to read a little bit from it. I want to get your reaction, if you'd like. If you have any reaction to it, I'll read it to you.
I read it this morning.
Did you? Let me read it to the audience, see what they think, and then we can discuss it. The headline is, "Residents Fear They'll Have to Abandon Homes. Lack of Rent Control Makes De Anza Houses Unsellable," by Heather Berner, Santa Cruz. A beautiful prison, that's what some residents of De Anza Mobile Estates were calling their park one day after the city council voted to remove rent control as they knew it. They should just put up a fence and put razor wire on top of it, because we're stuck, said Arlene van der Zee, who lived in the park off and on since 1987. No one's going to buy here. No one's going to sink their life savings into this park if they can't get it out again. That's already happening in a few places. Those hit first are heirs who cannot sell the homes they inherited, or to new residents who, having bought at the wrong time, are now subject to rent increases of up to triple what they were expecting. Actually, I think it's up to five times, but maybe not. In the last month, van der Zee, a realtor, has had five deals fall through because of the impending rent control decision between the park's owners, Manufactured Homes Communities, and the city. Now the heirs and some new residents have been told that their rents will triple. Many have hired attorneys. Some are planning to abandon their homes and allow Manufactured Homes Communities to take possession of them. Kevin McGinty bought his home in De Anza a few months ago, but hasn't been able to get a response to his request to enroll in rent control. Now he has no rent control and is afraid he'll end up being asked to pay several thousand dollars a month in rent. I guess this is the fellow that Shannon may have been talking about. We were the last in, and I'm sure we'll be the first to go, he said. We took what little money we had and sunk it into this place. The guy who owned it before is carrying the note. I'd hate to have to walk away. He's one of three De Anza residents who have hired attorney Will Constantine to represent them in the case. Lawrence Erickson, whose stepfather died September 3rd, and this again sounds like a person mentioned by Shannon, the day the city reached the settlement with the park owners, is now left with a trailer he can't sell and a new rent of $1,750 beginning November 1st. Erickson has hired an attorney to iron out the details as well. Neil Kinney hasn't hired an attorney, but is considering abandoning the home his mother had lived in since the 1970s. His mother passed away earlier this year, and the house has been on the market for 18 months when the rent control had been on the market for 18 months when the rent control settlement came down earlier this year. He and his wife, Carolyn, had received a cash offer of $135,000 for the house, but it fell through after the settlement was announced. Without even being able to recoup that amount, the couple aren't sure what to do. I'm glad my mom did not live to go through this, he said. It would have done her in. We don't know what to do. It's beautiful to stand in our living room and look at the ocean. Wouldn't it be awful to have to just walk away? I don't know what we'd do if they told us we had to pay for the home to be removed. The Kinneys believe their rent will increase to about $1,750 a month. It had been about $500. Now that the council has agreed to allow the park's owners to offer new leases that replace permanent rent control with rent control that increases to market rent after the first sale, and then as the rent increases capped, many residents say they hope they'll be able to sell their homes for what they bought them, but they just doubt it. If I have to, I'll just have them cut my home in half and move it to gold country or something, said Linda Mendez, who bought her home a year ago. One of my goals in life was not to have to live with my son, and now I'm worried that that will happen. Most residents say they are still in shock and hope that once the dust clears and the new suits underway are now settled, they will be able to enjoy their homes again. I don't know where she gets this. David Drake said he expects in the end it won't be as bad as people expect.
It'll be worse.
Pat Merton, who lives in her mobile home with her two sons, said she hopes that that will be the case. It doesn't change the fact that it's the money that won, not the people. It's a very confusing time. She said it will sort itself out. I'm not sure how, whether it will be for good or for bad, but it will. And that sounds like your typical Heather Berner type ending to a story, unfortunately. You don't want to get, I mean, this kind of false optimism annoys the hell out of me. If you'd like to be on the air talking to us, 427-3772. I'm sorry, Barbara, you got any comments about this?
Well, a comment from one of the residents today that I ran into. She's from Spain, and she came, I don't know how old your audience is. In any event, before World War II in the 30s, there was a very brutal and vicious Spanish Civil War between phalangists or fascists led by Franco, who became the dictator because he won with the aid of arms from Nazi Germany, and the assorted communists, republicans, socialists, etc., who were not as noble as they might have been. Read George Orwell's book. But in any event,
there are some anarchists and Trotskyists fighting too.
And she fled Franco's Spain to come to Santa Cruz because it seemed like a place where she could have freedom, where one, instead of having an official Catholic church only, had freedom of choice of religion, where you weren't strangled by garrote for being a communist, where there were unions and such. And she says now she's been back to Spain, and it's everything has changed dramatically. She feels, frankly, that she would have been better sticking it out in Spain. It's true some of the Spanish residents don't appreciate the nude beaches for the northern tourists, and they were told, well, just don't go there. They're going to be naked. You can, I guess, buy about any book you want.
Well, maybe a naked, how about a naked protest at City Hall of the Seniors? That might convince the...
No, I'll do it. I don't care. In any event, she feels that she made a bad choice of change of life. She's retired. She can't afford to go back to Spain if she doesn't sell her house, and she can't sell her house. My neighbor wants to, who is becoming increasingly crippled. She makes about $1,400 a month. She has a 34-year-old house, which she has been paying on for 20 years. She has two more payments. She's paid in about $96,000. She was thinking that she could sell it to her son under rent control, which would get her about $80,000, and she was happy to take the loss. She's becoming increasingly unable to walk. She has carpal tunnel, and she was going to move closer to her daughter, and of course her plans are gone. For myself, my only plan was to buy a home, to stay there until I died, in a town where I could walk if it became impossible for me to drive. My mother became blind, where I was near a bus stop a block away. I don't want to be out in the country in some mobile home park. And I would be very happy if razor wire surrounded the court and I couldn't get out. But I don't know. But my feeling about this is, if you are thinking of buying a mobile home in California, unless it is somewhere a million miles from nowhere in a complete slum, don't, unless you can own the land under it, because I think the day of the mobile home park in California is dead. You've had a tier in my lifetime. My uncle worked at the gas company, PG&E. He bought a house, added on to it. His kid, once music teacher, bought a house. Now, when you couldn't afford a house, you bought a condo or maybe a townhouse. And when you couldn't afford those,
Barbara,
you bought a trailer. And I don't think anyone can afford a trailer.
Barbara, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I hear the, you know, I can't really deny what you say. Certainly, you know, has the ring of truth to it in many ways. But isn't now the time to get together and fight rather than to sort of, I mean, I'm wondering.
I'm not talking about fighting. I'm talking about the reality that if you don't have rent control, if it's any place nice, the rent is going to go higher and higher and higher, and the people who could afford the trailer park that's really nice next to the golf course, they won't be able to, because the people who now cannot afford the townhouse will take those.
But
the very, very poor people, the person retired, the one who is on disability,
right,
and can afford $200 a month. They're not going to be able to afford the mobile home park,
yeah,
because
I
the other guy's going to come in there and say, okay, I'll pay $200.
I know. I think most of us know this.
I think
the question is, what are we going to do here in Santa Cruz?
I don't know.
I think everywhere in California,
the tendency is going to be get rid of the trailers, put in the townhouses, the apartments.
Well, I'll leave that to the MHCs. I'll leave that to the city councils. I'm not interested in predicting that, even though I think there's certainly truth in that. My question is, what are we, those who want to see the right of low-income people and affordable housing continue in some way, what are we to do? And that's why I went to the city council meeting, and that's why I'm, you know, trying to raise this issue on the air. I'm looking for ways to fight this, and I'm wondering, what do you think? Is it fightable? Is it something that...
I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know about the money thing. I have no idea. My neighbor I was speaking of earlier said she would be happy to have a 5% tax on her rent, mm-hmm, paid to defending rent control. I would be happy to it and pay for my neighbor who got hit by a car and isn't getting any money in. Would it be accepted? It seems to me that the idea now is you're a corporation, you have lots of money, you come in and hit people with the money club, and then you can do anything you want, unless you get so flagrant that, like Enron, maybe a few of you go down. But basically, I think the idea is these corporations will just keep rolling on through, and with what happened at De Anza, I'm sure other owners will be tempted,
right,
to do the same thing. I would like to see us fight. I want to fight. I don't want to take this lying down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad. Your recall thing about the 6,000 petitions, yes, if I get a day off, I would be happy to sit at a table and say, hey, do you want to sign?
Right. Well, that's what I'd like to know from folks out there, what they think should be done now. I look for the most obvious solution. I haven't gone to I haven't examined the charter. I haven't examined the specifics, but, based upon what we've done, some of us fighting other laws the city has passed, this is a law the city passed. The city has made a deal that required a voted city council, and it can be overturned by a vote of the voters. So, provided it's done quickly enough, I mean, that's of course, I think what needs to be done there. But again, it's not my. I don't live in Danza, and I don't live in Clearview Court. Actually, I am staying in a mobile home out on the outskirts of Santa Cruz. So who knows? Same thing could happen where I'm staying.
Do you have to pay for these petitions? Do you have to pay a fee to have a petition?
Well, I think it's a pretty minimal fee. It's not more than a couple hundred bucks at most. I think you can waive it if you get enough people to sign the petition. It's not like it takes a lot of money to do it. What it does take is you got to get 6,000 signatures,
yeah,
of registered voters in a month, which is a lot of signatures,
yeah,
in a short
Where do
period
you
of
go?
Time. Well, you go downtown to Santa Cruz, where people are.
I mean, to go to get this thing started.
Closer to the.
Where do you go to get it started?
Best advice would also get a lawyer to kind of help you draw up a brief statement that the voters could understand, a few simple sentences that says, rent control will remain in effect, the city will continue to fight these lawsuits, and maybe there'll be a financial assessment to mobile home people to pay for it, and it could be, in other words, it would be that the costs would be distributed to some extent more equitably among the people whom it specifically impacts. Though I think the loss of rent control impacts everybody in this town. Then the failure for rent control to be extended beyond mobile homes to the community generally, I think, has impacted the community immeasurably. I'd like to do. Did I answer your question or not?
Yeah.
I mean, you also go to the city clerk. And you go to the city clerk and you say, you can ask her for the specifics, call her tomorrow and say, Leslie Cook, city clerk, what's the procedure for circulating an initiative to overturn the vote of the city council? How long does it take? How many votes? What form does it have to be in? Does it have to be published in the newspaper? What do we need to do?
It sounds like a promising idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think it...
And something cheaper than a class action suit, which apparently they're not allowed to do if they sign these leases. They can only sue MHC individually.
And you also, of course, need a different opinion than that of John Barisoni, the city attorney. Amiable a fellow as he is in many cases, he gives a lot of bad advice and is engaging in a lot of nasty prosecutions. For those who are listening in, if you'd like to email in your thoughts, you can't get to a phone. The email address is rnorse2@hotmail.com. And I'm going to be checking that email to see if anybody actually bites on this hook, and nobody has yet, so we're hoping to see if somebody does. You can also call in at 427-3772. And I think what I'm going to do, Barbara, is I'm going to play a little, some bit from the City Council discussion. Actually, not the City Council members. I don't really want to hear their talk again. I've heard enough of what they had to say.
Well, I don't care if I'm being hanged for a murder I'm innocent of. I don't care what the hangman thinks of me. I don't care if he loves me, hates me, doesn't give a damn, because he's not going to help me, so...
Exactly. No. I'm gonna play what some of the residents and the protesters said, what some of the supporters said, and because I did some taping. There was this march you mentioned from the town clock on Tuesday at 1 o'clock down to the City Council.
Yeah,
at 3.
Some of the people were in wheelchairs and walkers, and some of them I heard saying, "Well, I've never done this before, but now's as good a time as any."
It's about 1:30 on Tuesday, September 23rd. Warm sun, but luckily not as warm as Sunday. And we're talking with
Paul Klopp.
And Paul, you have a sign, MHC stock, and there's a picture of a stock figure going up, 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 up 30%.
Year to date.
De Anza Senior's home equity potential loss, $30 million. Not only that, but you offered, you say the De Anza folks offered to buy this mobile home park?
Yes, and the MHC owners said they want $80 million for it.
Wow. Wow.
And they bought it for $8 million, I think it was in 92.
So the flyer that I've been distributing, which says it's now valued at $30 million, is, sounds like an underestimate, at least as far as MHC goes.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think of the turnout? It looks like we got at least 30 or 40, maybe 50 or 60 folks here. In the hot weather, most of these folks are over 50, I would say.
The average age in the park is 75, so not many of them can make it out here. So we do have a good turnout considering that, and we're just all, this is our last chance today to convince the City Council what to do. And when we bought in here in 98, we bought with the agreement that we would have rent control, irrevocable rent control. Now it's all changed because the city can't afford to fight this multi-billion company. So that's where we stand.
You didn't have much warning, as I understand, when this happened.
We read about it in the newspaper about a week ago that they had made a settlement with MHC. They didn't even tell us before it happened. So now this is the final vote that they'll either go with it or not, so we're doing all we can. That's about all I can say, is that we stand to lose our home equity because the next people that buy our house, the rent is going to be at market value determined solely by MHC.
3 to 5 times what it is now, at least.
Yes.
And so you're going to City Council to try to change the minds of the council, or at least let the community know what's going on before the second reading of this law, which eliminates rent control but provides for a 34-year lease at the same rent. The trouble is, once you try to transfer ownership, or once you try to get any kind of money for your either by selling or by a loan, it's not going to work. Rent control leaves. I mean, I guess you can get a loan without rent control leaving, but who's going to lend you money?
Right. Our rent will go from $450 a month up to $1,250 a month, and possibly even higher. It's up to their discretion. The people up in front of the park, their rent is approximately $800 a month. It'll go to $5,000 a month for the rent space, for the space. So it's crazy.
We've been talking with
Paul Klopp.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
It's good. It's good. MHC has got to go. We're at the City Council chambers, or right outside the chambers. It's about 2 o'clock, and the gathering of seniors and their supporters who are being essentially dispossessed from the De Anza Mobile Home Park are here in some numbers. Looks like 75 to 100 people now. A lot of the women dressed in black, number of people in wheelchairs. Here's a woman with a kind of a tablet on it that says original agreement, irrevocable participation, blah, 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 new agreement, 34 years, give or take a few loopholes, loss of equity in homes, what's next? There's a youth, save our seniors. There's a little boy with a sign, be fair to my grandma. Another boy with a poster board sign, save our seniors. Some of the, and we've got some interesting instruments here. Sounds like a combination plastic glove and a paper towel dispenser instrument. What do we call this instrument?
A reverberaphone.
A reverberaphone. So even the reverberaphones are here supporting the seniors at the Santa Cruz City Hall. We have one of the leaders has assigned, join us at City Hall 2:30, march at 1:30, and we have marched from the town clock up to here, and it's a small march, but well attended and full of instrumentation and percussion and chants. And what's your name?
I'm Sherry Eisendorf.
And Sherry, is this your 49th protest, your first?
Oh, yes. I've been on a number of protests. This is one of many.
And are you actually a Danza person yourself?
Yes, I am.
So here, it's getting pretty close to home here.
Who are we talking to?
This is Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is hitting home. I've marched on Washington before, on the Pentagon, and...
Now you're marching on your own City Hall.
I'm marching on my own City Hall. Hate to do it, but we have to.
Got to do it, yeah. Thank you. And there's a man in a wheelchair with a sign, City Hall, save low-income, Clearview homes now. Any comments?
What was that?
Do you have any comments?
Well, most everything's already been said, but I don't really have too many comments. I'm just discussing with the whole thing, the city council and the MHC and the rent controller general. I mean, it's a big farce.
What's your name, sir?
Bruce Holman's my name.
Bruce Holman?
The Edson Mobile Home Park.
And how long have you lived there?
9 years.
And when you bought your home, was there rent control in effect or not?
Yes, it was. We applied for rent control.
And that, of course, is due to be gutted today, right?
Supposedly, yeah. Unless these knuckleheads could change their mind.
Well, hopefully this demonstration and the community's outcry will make that change.
Possibly, I don't know. Find out.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was from the Santa Cruz City Council, the protest before the Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday. In the studio with me is Barbara Tiger of Clearview Court. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, call-in number 427-3772. We just had a caller, Barbara, who had a couple of questions that I wanted to put to you, or she wanted to put to you. She wondered what kind of contract you signed originally. What were your rights? What kind of rights were you guaranteed when you signed that contract?
I wish I would have known. I would have brought it with me. I was told by the person who sold us the mobile home that we had rent control. Actually, I was not told that you had to sign up for it, and if I had not been a member of the surfing community, I wouldn't have found out. But I was told, you have to sign up, see Daniel, you, Harriet, go to City Hall. And they sent out a person from City Hall who appraised the trailer. And we got this red sticker to stick in front and filled out the papers and did everything. And we got this contract, which my understanding, it was irrevocable, irreversible, binding, and that if we sold the home, the trailer, why don't we just call it a trailer, but it's my home, that we would be able to sell it only at a certain price, and that if we went tippy-toeing through the back door and sold it for more, that the city could come and take the extra money that we had made because this was in violation of the contract. So even if I was offered $1 million for my $55,000 home, no, absolutely not. If I went down and changed my mind, no, I can't, because some people there did, they said. Excuse me. They said, oh, well, we'd like to get off of rent control. Nope, can't do it. I guess it's very one-sided. I guess one side can and one side can't. And so this was a contract, and I have it next to the refrigerator in the little space there in the green folder with the papers. And that was that.
Another question that the caller had was, doesn't the state rather than the city have jurisdiction over mobile home parks? Do you know anything about that?
There's an organization called GMSOL, which could answer such questions more. In some cases, there are things that the state has jurisdiction over. Now, for instance, we were told when we moved in that the Airstream trailer was our neighbor, and it was a vacation home, and it was torn out, and a double-wide trailer was put in. And we were told, now, if this is the city, the county, or the state, I don't know, but there's a regulation how many feet apart each trailer has to be. There, when the new owner, Vieira, bought it, after the Dream Inn sold it, there'd been a lot of problems. The electrical systems used to catch fire, and sewage systems would have splits, and the state compelled the Vieira company to repair these before he could take over the park and install new trailers. Inspectors, whether from the state or county or city, come out when the trailer is being installed, and at every step of the process they inspect it to make sure that the hookups and earthquake safety are made. But who has absolute authority? I understand there are certain regulations that trailer parks are governed by. This man that you talked to earlier was talking about length of leases and such.
See, I guess the caller was wondering, I guess her question was, if the state has jurisdiction, then how can the city alter these things the way it's doing, either with rent control or without rent control? I guess that both of them have a certain amount of jurisdiction under the circumstances.
There's jurisdictions over various aspects, I suppose, of safety. Different municipalities, Santa Monica, Berkeley, San Francisco, New York City, have rent control ordinances of varying age. And so I assume that the city of Santa Cruz, and this is the city, not the county, you understand, had passed the ordinance.
I think all those cities you mentioned have rent control for apartments.
Those are for
residential apartments.
Those are for apartments.
Santa Cruz has no such ordinance, just for
Santa Cruz had just applied to mobile home courts. But those other places, I don't know if they even have mobile home courts there, but they do have rent control.
Well, if anyone has any more specific answers, give us a call to help that out. What I'm going to do, since we are covering a variety of topics in this show, I want my audience to be patient with me. I know a lot of you may be listening who are living in these parks or who are interested in this issue. And the issue is going to come up again, because I suspect that when the DN's board of directors meeting breaks up, we may get a call from them, and we may get some folks calling in. Maybe some people from Clearview Court will call in.
There is one interesting thing which I'm sort of wondering about. In Clearview Court, before the new trailers, one of which I bought, were installed, there was a murder there. The woman who worked at the Seaway Inn was killed by the man she was living with. He stuck a shotgun through the door and blasted her because she told him he hadn't locked the door. And in the Sentinel, it said that they were being rented by Mr. Vieira a trailer without heat, light, or electricity for $500 a month. And I never saw, I thought, well, isn't this illegal? I never saw anything in the Sentinel that the city did anything to
penalize
or fine the owner. I don't know if they did, and we never heard about it.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little more of this rent control discussion. I should say the destruction of rent control, the protest by you folks on Tuesday. And then I'm going to turn to some other topics, and you're welcome to hang here and answer more questions.
I'll answer any question if I know the answer.
Or make comments on other subjects, because we're covering a variety of things. For example, well, I'll talk about that after we get this done.
What's your name?
What?
What's your name?
I'm Linda Mendez.
And you live at Tanza?
I live at 116, and I paid cash for mine at $206,000 a year ago, 3 years old, figuring city council would never let us down. And I had two goals. One was to put my son to the university with no student loans, and my ex and I did that and split the cost. And the second one was for him never to have to support me at my old age. And now, you know, if I can't sell my place, if I need,
it's a catastrophe.
It's heartbreaking, yeah, it's heartbreaking.
You have some black ribbons you're giving out.
Yeah. Represent warning. Okay, thank you. Where are you from?
I'm from Santa Cruz. I'm not from a mobile home. Actually, I live in a mobile home park over on the outskirts of Santa Cruz. I'm not in Santa Cruz proper at the moment. But I'm, concerned about the lack of rent control generally. I'm concerned about people being betrayed by the city council.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned about rights of people and not getting in a situation where they're going to be homeless. Because that's...
Yeah, well, I have a 27-foot fifth-wheel trailer that's paid for, and a truck. So I might not have to change my address. I still might be able to live on Delaware with all the other people in their trailers.
And the city would tell you you can't do that after 11 o'clock at night. No sleeping.
I'm trying to be facetious here.
Right.
Yeah.
Grow a little levity in an otherwise grim.
Yeah, and I've been trying to do that. And then this morning it dawned on me that second goal of never having my son have to support me could be gone with this.
You're here.
So I figure worst comes to worst. Well, I've been skydiving once. I've seen people skydive off of Angel Falls. I could go for a final trip.
Please land on Scott Kennedy and Mayor Riley.
But I just bought the book by Jim Hightower. Yeah, and there's thieves. And we elected city council to represent us. And I understand not having the money in the budget, but to give us such a short notice with all the details, it's criminal, I think.
It's not to involve you in the process.
It was all done behind closed doors.
Our city manager, Dick Wilson, knows best.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of the facilities as long as I'm there. And if worse comes to worse and I have to leave, I'm going to have to cut my house in half and tow it out of here. I might have to go to gold country and find a little piece of land or something where they will let
me. No one here to City Hall since they took your house in the first place.
Yeah, and my place is only 3 years old.
How long have you lived there?
Only a year, not even a year.
You bought it with the expectation of rent control.
The contract said it was irrevocable. So I figured, irrevocable. The city council anyway is not going to let this happen. And it's happening.
That's your city council.
I know, and they represent the people. There are 198 homes there. They've been under rent control. Having moved up from L.A., that was the only thing I could afford. I sold a beautiful townhome in Porter Ranch. The zip code is in the top 1% of desirable places to live. So I could, be close to the grandchildren.
Well, I say, if they aren't listening now, take the demonstration into the city council offices and do it there.
Yeah, today I guess they're supposed to make their final decision and, not even letting us pay for the...
Well, remember that you can always push for an initiative. You get people out on the streets getting for an initiative. You can overturn their law, too.
Yeah.
Take 6,000 signatures.
Oh, I was active in college and politics. I was active since I was 5 years old. My dad used to take us out campaigning for Ed Roybal. And all of us kids, and when we'd say kids, we'd give them Ed Roybal buttons and candy and tell them to go tell their parents.
Well, now you heard about Dallas, Fantasy Isle, American Dream, affluent style. But Robin Leach might be surprised by what I see before my eyes, watching lifestyles of the poor and nameless, sleeping on the city street. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon, and you and me. Spare some change, I need a bite, just to survive an awful fight. I spend my time collecting cans while you're out working on your tans on lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, sleeping on a city street. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon to you and me, you and me. side. They bust the starving kid who steals while the fat cats make their sweetheart deals on lifestyles of the poor and nameless.
With another thrilling episode of Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless. Today's journey takes us to the streets of your city, where we'll visit the homeless in their native habitats, street corners of makeshift cardboard shelters, sewer grate and doorway bedrooms, soup-lined kitchens lit by blazing oil barrel fireplaces, alleyways of the addicted, the unemployed, the destitute, the insane, eating and sleeping in the most unlikely places. It's all here on Lifestyles of the Poor and Nameless.
Now, in the ghetto, there's always room for the ethnic population boom. The melting pot boils past the brim while the people's futures looking grim on lifestyles of the poor and nameless, begging for a bite to eat. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, sleeping on a city street. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, seldom seen on your TV. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon to you and me. You and me. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless. Woo. Lifestyles of the poor and nameless, coming soon.